came here 29 and a half years ago, and so it's almost 30 years I've been here pastoring, and it's a lot different town now. For those of you who've been here a while, it's a lot different town now than it was 29 and a half years ago. I don't think we only had one or two stoplights back then. Anyway, I just want to say I love Wayne. I deeply appreciate him. He's a great guy, and I've known him quite a while, and so it's an honor for me to be here. I handed my church over, I basically handed the leadership of my church over to my son back in January. So I've had an opportunity now to travel around a little more. I'm still somewhat involved here, but it's been an honor to be able to go to different churches and be able to minister. And so, I think it's sad that the people that decided that the rapture was going to be yesterday, they should have made it Monday because all our churches would have been packed. But, it's funny. I remember during the war, I think it was the war when they went in and got Saddam Hussein. What was that called? The
Gulf War?
The Gulf War, yeah, the Gulf War. Anyway, the Gulf War, I remember our churches were all packed before while the Gulf War was going on. When it ended, it went back to the normal attendance. It was just weird. So, I want to talk to you this morning about how to be authentic in a phony world. And I find that our world is becoming more and more weird. I've been on this planet a long time, and it's amazing. I don't know, it's a combination of a whole lot of things, from social media to there's just a tendency to become less authentic. But I want you to know that I believe that Jesus is calling us as never before to be really authentic. And I'm just going to give you three primary points here today, but the first one is say, be real.
Be real.
Say it in 1, 2, 3.
Be real.
Be real. Now, it's hard to be real. It's hard to be really open. It's a lot easier to be phony. It's a lot easier to be, just try to impress people and try to get people to like you and try to put a lot of energy. And I just want to tell you, it's wasted energy. And I appreciate Wayne because he's really real. I know a lot of pastors, and some pastors are not real, and some pastors are real. Your pastor is real. And, so you can be thankful for that because, a lot of people, a lot of pastors just kind of show an image that's not really, really them. And they won't share the difficult things. They just share, the highlights and the good things. So I remember several years ago, there was a couple that was really struggling in our church. So they had me come to their home to pray with them, and they also wanted financial help. And when I got to their home, it was up on Diamond Ridge. It was a beautiful home, much, much nicer than the home we lived in. And then I noticed in the driveway were two late model cars. I mean, just beautiful cars. And they said, well, we're about to lose our cars, our house, and everything. And I said, well, how did you get into this situation? Well, they said, we are involved in a multi-level company, and our mentor told us that we needed to fake it until we make it. And I thought, fake it till you make it? Now tell me, well, if you really fake it, then people will buy into your multi-level, and then you'll be blessed. And I'm like, wait. Where did you find that in Scripture, fake it till you make it? I don't see that. I don't find that in Scripture. Well, we really trusted our mentor. Well, you want me to bail you out of a situation you got in because you believed a lie that says fake it till you make it. I said, you know what? I'm not helping you. I love you. I'll pray for you. I'll welcome you. But you're probably going to lose everything because when you fake it till you make it, that's not the way that God calls us to walk. And the Scripture, I didn't get preacher or anything, but the Scripture that came to my mind was a Scripture I'm going to put up on the screen now. 1 John 1:6-9. It says, so we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. It's easy to speak the truth. It's another thing to practice it. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let me just tell you, when we're not living in the light, when we're faking it till we make it, when we're not being real, it's very, very hard to have fellowship, not only with God, but it's hard to have fellowship with each other. I mean, you've been around people that are phony. It's no fun. You can't really relate to them because their track is always running. When you try to talk to them, they're not listening. They're trying to impress you. And so it goes on to say this. It says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living the truth. In other words, if we pretend that everything's perfect and we don't have any problems or anything like that, it's just not right. That's not true. It's not reality. You know, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. John 16:33, but cheer up, I've overcome the world. So you're going to go through things. In fact, you know, it's funny, when we were singing that song, I felt like there were some of you that had losses. You know, when Stafford wrote that song, he had lost everything, basically. He lost his whole family. He had left his ministry. He'd lost everything. He really had nothing other than Jesus. But because of that, he was able to say, it's well with my soul. And I just felt like I just needed to pray with those of you that had losses. Now, I think we probably all have losses. You may have lost a friend. You may have lost a loved one. You may have lost a parent. You may have lost a child. You may have lost your job. You may have lost... I mean, we've all had losses. And sometimes those losses really weigh on us. You may have lost a marriage. You may have lost... You know, those things are really hard for us. We weren't built for losses. But Jesus said in this world, you're going to have losses. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. So, but the good news is that he's with us in those trials. So I just thought, yeah, I just wanted to pray with you right now. And has anyone in this room not had a loss? Okay, I figure I'm in good company then. I've had several losses in my life. I went through a divorce when my kids were very young. You know, I've gone through many, many things, you know, many losses. I lost one of my best friends in high school who committed suicide. It was weird. I went to a private school back east, and his grandfather going to Harvard, and his father going to Harvard, and his brother going to Harvard, and he got rejected from Harvard, and he killed himself the next day. And I know that sounds stupid, but back east, they have some weird thoughts that where you go to college defines who you are. That's total bull. And anyway, but the sad part is this guy believed the lie, and the enemy was able to use it to take his life. And I grieved over that because he was a great guy. And so big deal, he didn't go to Harvard. Who the heck cares? I must have said the wrong word. I forgot where I was. Anyway, but I gotta tell you, it's so important to be real. And you know, the scripture goes on to say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when things are going bad, and you know, let's say we have a loss and we get bitter about it, that's sin. We can't let bitterness form in our heart. So we've got to be really honest. When we get angry, sometimes we get angry with God because he allowed this to happen, or you know, this happened. So it's so important to let that go. You know, sometimes when we're not real and we're trying to fake it, it can be really embarrassing. I want you to just see this movie clip from a T.D. Jakes film that I think you'll get the idea of they're faking it. She's faking it and trying to make it.
So I think you can see how a retail space in this neighborhood can be a home run.
Yeah. I want to see the equipment is actually quite impressive, really.
Yeah, there's lots of potential. Excuse me, who will be taking the check?
No, I insist.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you very much.
It's
nice to see you back.
It is so good to be back.
Dave, tell me, I'm interested in getting your perspective of what's it like to have a wife who is progressing with clarity.
Well, you know, anything Chris puts his mind to is going to be successful, so you guys aren't getting it.
Oh, impressive.
But more importantly, as a general contractor, I thought you might be able to weigh in and share your perspectives from a professional level on the architectural flowchart that she's presented to us today.
Yeah, well, see, with this particular project, my approach, I mean, I would approach it in a way that actually the projects I work on are going to be a little bit smaller, about 3,000
to 5,000. Thanks. Jason, he's just being modest. No, David owns a very lucrative construction company.
Really?
Yes, Sweetheart, but I was just letting them know that the project's had a little bit more.
You don't have to let everybody know everything, and it's okay, we're looking to get into some bigger relationships.
I was just telling them, man.
Yeah, I said I'm interested. You know, you can work together in the family, you might be able to be the general contractor, and you can do the finish-out work.
Perfect. I think that's a great idea.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but your card has been declined.
You know what? It's gotta be a mistake.
We'll take care of this.
No, let me give you another credit card. I'll give you another. Jeff, I brought the American Express, right? Do I have to do you?
I think, please.
No, I can do it.
Please. I'll handle this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice music.
Oh, and the food.
That first thing is be real. Remember we talked about be real, even when it hurts. Number two, be led, even when it doesn't make sense. Now, when you receive Jesus, you got the Holy Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. He's our guide. He directs us. He's the Jiminy Cricket that keeps us on the path. He's the one that really, literally, really guides us into all truth. He's the one that really helps us. And He prompts us. And sometimes we throw off His promptings. We don't really listen to His promptings. On Tuesday night, I went to see Todd White at Red Rocks. And I don't know, did any of you guys go? Did anybody else make it? Okay, good. Anyway, I looked on my app, you know, which was smart, my weather app, and it said the low is going to be 64. So I dressed like this. I think I had a little really light shirt, like jacket on top of it or something I wore. And the Holy Spirit prompted me to take a warmer jacket. And I went, no, I just looked at my app. That's stupid. I know it's only going to be a low of 64. Well, we were there, and it was really windy, and the temperature dropped to 48 degrees. And I was freezing my rear. But I'll tell you, I was freezing. And if you're bald, you know that you lose a lot of hair. I mean, you lose heat off the top of your head. And so I was so cold that it took me 2 days to warm up. Anyway, but I didn't listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was really trying to help me, but I was going by my mind because I saw my weather app. How many know the Holy Spirit knows the weather better than your weather app? Amen? So anyway, it's so important to be led. And, you know, I think there's so many times where it doesn't make sense. When I came to this town, actually, I was not the founder of The Rock. It's really interesting. There was another guy by the name of Jim Beard who had founded The Rock, but The Rock was just about to die. I came in, and I remember I had been out of the pasture. I had pastored up in Grand Lake, up in the mountains for 6 years, and then I was in sales. Actually, I went through a divorce, and I ran a Christian school for 2 years, went in sales. And so I was just praying. I went away and prayed fast. The Lord said, I'm calling you back in the ministry. And I said, I'm not telling anybody. You'll get me there. So I didn't send any resumes out. I didn't tell anybody. A few months later, I got a call from this church in Grand Lake. Said, we're looking for a pastor. I was living up in Kentrell Ranch. So I went there. And I remember going down there. And it was in an old warehouse. There were just a few people there. There was a spirit of heaviness and depression. It was bad. And there was a lady that got up and gave a testimony for about 15 minutes that didn't make any sense. They had communion. You didn't know. They passed out the communion. You didn't know whether you were supposed to hold the elements or take the elements. The Lord told me to preach on hope. And my message on hope was becoming hopeless. Anyway, it was getting shorter and shorter. And so anyway, finally, I remember just kind of thinking, Lord, I know you're not calling me here. I know I can do a lot better than this. And the Lord spoke to me, not an audible voice. I've never heard him audibly, but he spoke into my spirit. And he said, this is where I'm calling you. This is sheep without a shepherd. So anyway, I did. I took the church, and then I found out there were $50,000 in debt. And so I kept my day job. I had a sales job that I kept for about a year and a half until the church was able to come out of debt, gradually grew, and we were gradually able, and eventually able to move into a building and move into anyway. But Here's what I want to say. It didn't make any sense to my mind. Oftentimes, the Spirit of God, not always, sometimes it does make sense, but oftentimes the Spirit of the Lord will lead us in a direction that doesn't compute with our rational mind. And I gotta tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm somewhat rational, and so it's really hard for me. It's really hard for me, and that's why I found praying in the Spirit really helps, being in the Word helps, being in fellowship with other people you can really share your heart with, and really say, hey, I'm really struggling, I need to make a decision. People that you know will really pray and listen to the Lord. And not, I don't want their opinion. Please pray, but don't give me your opinion. Give me what you sense the Lord is saying. And so we need that. We need those. You know, it says there's safety in a multitude of counselors. So we need that, those relationships with those people that we can really open our heart up to those people, and they can speak into our lives. Now, when they speak into our lives, it'll either be a confirmation of what we sense, or it'll be something, a woo. And if it's a woo, then you gotta just go back to the Lord and say, okay. Because you don't just step out on what they say, but it helps to confirm. And so, anyway, I think even that day, when we were going to Red Rocks, I said, I looked at the app, and my wife says, well, maybe you should take a heavier coat. And I went, nah, I don't need a heavier coat. So the Holy Spirit was trying to get through to me, and my wife Yvonne was trying to get through to me. I mean, in the mouth of two or more witnesses, amen? You should listen, but I didn't. Anyway, and I froze my rear. Okay, first of all, let me give you some scripture to make this legal. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's not talking about male or female, it's talking about everything. We are the sons of God. And so when we're led by the Spirit of God, when we don't let ourselves be led, we kind of sacrifice our sonship. We move out from under that. Yeah, we're still his son, we're still his daughter. He still loves us, but we move away from the direction he's trying to give us. And in the book of Acts in chapter 16, verse 6 through 7, when you read the book of Acts, it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. It says the Acts of the apostles, but it's really the Holy Spirit. All through there, the Holy Spirit was directing and leading. But here in Acts 16, 6 through 7, it says, and this is the disciples, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. They were going to go to Asia because it seemed that, we'll just go and expand, and Holy Spirit said, no. How do you know that it's important to listen to what the Holy Spirit says, not to think, well, this is a good idea. Yeah. Amen? Right. Because there's so many things out there that'll say, well, this is a good idea, do this, do that. You need to be really led by the Spirit of God. Because when you're in His plan, in His will, even if it doesn't go the way you think it should, you know you're in His plan, so there's a peace that accompanies what you're doing. Amen or amen? Okay. Now, it goes on to say this, and when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Now, in this case, not only did the Spirit direct them, but He also prevented them from going places that they weren't supposed to go at that time. And so I just want to encourage you. I think it's so important to really, really pray. This scripture's not up there, but Isaiah 55:12, the Lord just spoke this to me this morning. Isaiah 55:12 says, that you'll be led by peace. maybe I better go to the scripture. Somebody pull up Isaiah 55:12. I'm going to have you read it in just a minute. But it's important to be led by faith, peace, and go forth with joy. And because the Spirit of God leads us that way. I have an opportunity to go to Myanmar. Myanmar is the new name for Burma. And we have a couple in our church who minister to Burmese refugees in Denver and actually in Houston too. They have, but there's a trip they wanted me to go on to minister to in different, mostly young people in Myanmar. And so I did not want to go. And the head of our missions was really putting the pressure on me to go because I was a Zen Buddhist. Before I became a Christian, I was a Zen Buddhist for 5 years. I was a druggie and a Zen Buddhist. And basically, I would meditate for 40 minutes in the morning and 40 minutes in the evening. I even ran the Monterey Zendo in the Monterey, California area. And so it was really interesting. A couple came by. Actually, they're going to be at our house tomorrow night. a couple came by to our house. They're with Youth with a Mission now. They got saved on their way to India to find their guru, and they got saved in Afghanistan at a Floyd McClung halfway house. And they gave their life. They came back to where I was living in the Monterey Pacific Grove, California area, shared the gospel. They hammered me with the gospel. They didn't just share the gospel. They pulled out their gospel gun and shot me for 3 hours. And I argued with them. You know, that's narrow. You know, there's a lot of roads that lead to God, blah, 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 blah. You know, you've heard it all. Finally, I surrendered. You know, I gave up and took out my little white handkerchief and surrendered. And anyway, I gave my life to Christ. And Jesus came into my life and really, really transformed my life and changed my life. And, you know, the amazing thing was, though, in the midst of all of this, I was such a mess, I guess. I was 28 and a half. My life was a total disaster. And Jesus came into my life. Anyway, without going into detail, I am so grateful for that. But because I have a Buddhist background, and they wanted me to go because it's a Buddhist country. So they said, you gotta go. But I did not feel a peace at all. And I said to my wife, I said, I'm not going unless I really get a, you know, just feel a desire to go. How many of you know if you go just because somebody wants you to go, or you do something because somebody wants you to, it's probably not gonna be a good result. And and it's gonna be a little rustic over there. I could be a whiny baby over there. Anyway, here's the point I wanna make. So I had to decide this by Thursday. Well, I woke up Thursday morning, and I just had this. And Todd White had been at our church on Wednesday night, and it wasn't because of him. It wasn't because of anything he said. But I woke up that next morning, and I had this whole different feeling. I actually was excited about and wanting to go to Myanmar. So I'm going. I think it's November 6th to the 17th or something. Anyway, so I'm going. But this time I'm going because I know the Holy Spirit is directing me to go. And when I was the lead pastor, they'd pay my trip. So I've got to raise my own support. So that's so that was one of the factors. But anyway, I figure if God's in it, hey, it's going to work out. You know, if he's not in it, though, then it's me trying to make something happen. So I'm just giving that example. So did you find Isaiah? Did somebody find Isaiah 55:12? Okay, you got it, Willie. Go ahead. Here, I'll bring the mic over. Yeah, I want you to read it.
Okay. For you shall
a small print. I'm paying.
For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
Now notice that first part again says you shall go out with
joy
and be led with
peace.
Now notice joy and peace accompany them. So if God's directing you to do something, it may go against what your mind thinks. But if you're excited about it, I mean, if there's an excitement below that, and if there's a peace about it, then that's probably God. Okay, let's move to number three. What time do you end here?
Whenever you end.
No. I know we have Bronco fans here, so we're not going to do that. We're not going to blow out their VCR. And I'm a Bronco fan. I'm an avid Bronco fan, too, so I'm waiting. I got to tell you this, the kicker, Britton Colquitt, who was the kicker when they won the Super Bowl, I got to know him really well, and Elway told him several times that they couldn't have won the Super Bowl without him, because he, I don't know if you remember, he pinned down the New England Patriots in their own territory in that game that they had to win, and then even in the Super Bowl he kept Atlanta really, I mean, he had a great playoff series, but great guy. Then he got traded to Cleveland. He went from the best team to the worst team. I said, how's your attitude when he went to Cleveland? He goes, you know, at first it was pretty bad. I mean, you can imagine being a Super Bowl champion then going to a team that I think only won one game. And but he said, you know, I'm just making the best of it because I feel like God's got me here and I'm one of the older guys, and so I can kind of help the younger guys and help, you know, just bring Jesus. So anyway, it's really interesting. You can make lemonade out of lemons. How do you know? How about you know that? and he's doing that. And so pray for the Cleveland Browns. I have a bet that they're going to win more than one game this year. Anyway, so I want to talk about the third thing. This is now the first one was be what?
Real.
Be real. The second one was be
led.
Be real, be led. And this is be loving. Say be loving.
Be loving.
And you know, everybody says, well, loving, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm loving. No. It's easy to love people that love you. Jesus said, even the tax collectors love people who love you. That's no big deal. But how about when somebody betrays you? How about when somebody wounds you? How about when somebody hurts you? Can you still be loving? Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. That's great, Jesus. That's easy for you to say. But it, you know, I don't know about you. You know, I grew up near Philadelphia, and the slogan was, get even. Now, if you became a Christian, it was get even and then get forgiven. Now, that's not Jesus' slogan. I mean, that was my slogan, though. And, you know, as an ex-wrestler, I felt like, okay, I'll get even and then I'll get forgiven. But that's not the way to operate.
That's right.
And so I want to give you scripture here. 1 John 4:19 says, we love. Why? Because you first loved us. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I have no love for somebody that betrays me. I have no love for anybody that screws me over. I mean, I can talk honestly to you, can I?
Yeah.
I don't. So I desperately need help.
Amen.
And the only way that I can really love somebody, I mean truly love somebody, is to be able to forgive them. Now, the only way I can forgive them is through Jesus Christ, because he's forgiven me. I don't know about you, but man, I screwed up a lot. I screwed up a lot before I was a Christian. I screwed up a lot after I was a Christian. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I've said this before. You need grace before you get saved. You need grace to get saved. And you need grace after you get saved.
Amen.
I got arrested in Israel before I was a Christian. I spent 19 days in jail there. And I'd still be there had it not been for... I don't know how transparent I can be, but I said be real. So had I not smoked up the last bit of hash the night before I got arrested... Anyway, because when they came in and confiscated everything, if they found that, I'd still be in jail, because Israel has some of the strongest laws on drugs. And but it was through the grace of God, literally. It was literally through the grace of God that happened. And so they didn't find anything. And so it only took 19 days to get out instead of 19 years. But anyway, also, I needed grace to get saved. I was a Buddhist. Think about it. I needed God's grace. It took a while, but it finally got through. And I didn't think God would accept me because I was such a mess. But I found out he did, and he loved me. But then you need grace also to get saved. About a month and a half ago, I was driving to the church. I was late for an appointment. I was going about 50 in a 35-mile zone. How many know that's not a good idea? Especially when there's a cop coming the other way. And he turned around, and I said, I am. And now I'm really going to be late for the appointment. Haste makes waste. Anyway, he pulls me over, and he looks at me and said, aren't you the pastor of the Rock? I said, well, yes. And I was speeding, I know. And I am guilty as charged. He goes, you know what? I'm speaking to your MOPS group next week. He goes, do me a favor. Slow down, will you? I'm going, oh, thank you, Lord. I just need grace wherever you live. Anyway, you need it before, to, and after. Okay, now. Having known the love of God and the grace of God, how many of you know that we need to really show the love of God? It's easy to get bitter. It's easy to get bitter if you go through a struggle, if you go through, you know, things are not fair. You know, lots of people come to me and they'll say, Pastor, this is just not fair. And I go, guess what? Life is not fair in this world. Jesus said you will have tribulations. It's not fair. So you're going to go through a lot of things fair. So you can't control the bad things that happen to you. You can't. However, you can control your attitude toward the bad things that happen to you. Now look what happened to Jesus. He didn't hurt anybody. He didn't sin. He didn't do anything wrong to offend anybody. And yet, they yelled, crucify him! Crucify him! A week after they were yelling, they were praising him and bowing down with branches. A week later, they're yelling, crucify him. And when they had a choice, they said, crucify Jesus and let Barabbas go. That's sick. But here's what he did on the cross. I don't know about you, but I would have been really pissed on that cross. I mean, here I've given my, you know, I've poured my life out, and I've loved people, I've healed people, I've done all this, and now, this is the thanks I get, I'm being crucified? the most disgraceful way a person could die? And this is what he said from the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And you know, I think that's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a scripture for this. Ephesians 4, 31, 32. I'm dealing with a situation right now that I'm really pissed about. Is it okay to say pissed? Okay, because we say it in our normal language, but in church we get it straightened out. Anyway, but anyway, I'm
real.
Yeah, I am. I'm trying to be. Anyway, I got to tell you, though, I'm dealing with a situation right now that I'm really struggling through. I'm praying through. You know, sometimes you think, oh, I'll just forgive it. Like, that doesn't work that way, because I'll take a step of forgiveness, and then I'll go, ooh, and then I'll be, you know, doing something, and I feel that, you know, resentment and anger coming up, and I go, ooh, it's not gone. And so I got to do it again and over and over. It's kind of like peeling a Bermuda onion, you know. You get that real thick, you know, you get that thick purple off, and then you think, well, I've done it. You cry a little bit from the onion. Anyway, you get it down. Well, you got to keep peeling it until you get down to the white core. And that's the way oftentimes forgiveness is. Well, here's a scripture that I want to give you to show you. This is kind of a life scripture for me. Ephesians 4, 31, 32. It says, get rid of all bitterness. Notice it says all bitterness. You know what that means in the Greek? You got it. I see your Greek scholars. Okay. Get rid of all bitterness, all rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now, how has God through Christ forgiven us? 100%, unconditionally, the whole bit. So that means we can't allow bitterness. See, when you hold on to bitterness or resentment towards someone that's done something, it's like drinking poison thinking it's going to hurt them. It's not going to hurt them. It's going to mess you up pretty bad. It's not going to hurt them at all. I want to, by the way, I have, it took me 20 years, but I did finally write a book. And it was published right before Christmas of last year. And I'll have some out there. They're $16 on Amazon, but they're just $13 for you. But this is kind of something. It's called Life in the Spirit, the life God always intended you to live. And it's very real, very honest. I want to read a story about my youngest brother. And in order to do this, sorry. I've got to wear my glasses to this. I don't know how you read your Bible, but that's the smallest print. It's the smallest print I've ever seen in my life. This is a story about my brother Guy. Let me just tell you about my youngest brother Guy. He was an alcoholic at 13 years old. He actually worked in New York City in the mission kitchen, just helping the homeless. And he was basically living almost as a homeless person himself. He did get saved. He gave his life to Christ. He was still struggling with alcohol and was having a tremendous battle with alcohol. I'm happy to say he did eventually overcome that battle. But one of the things that really, really messed him up was when my mother died, my dad married another person after that, and she turned out to be one of the most evil people that I've ever known. She destroyed all our family photos. She would not, this is before cell phones, she would not let us talk to my dad. When we caught three brothers, and he was the youngest, I'm the oldest, but we could not talk to my dad. She, for some reason, really hated him. Now, I was living in Colorado. My brother lived in Cape Cod, and my other brother, though, lived in the area where we grew up, where my dad was living, and so she really hated him, and she would prevent him from coming in the house. Or Anyway, my brother had God had given him a vision how to reach the homeless. He actually did this for 25 years. He started a redemption centers throughout New York City. New York City has a bottle bill or can bill for 5 cents. You can bring in a bottle or can. Well, nobody in Manhattan where space is just, you know, so key and so expensive. They don't want dirty, smelly homeless people bringing in their bottles and cans. So they say, get out of here. We're not giving you anything for those cans. Take the cans wherever. So it was a frustrating thing. The Lord spoke to my brother, and he actually established redemption centers where he hired all homeless people, and they could bring in their cans and bottles, and they get a got the check, you know, check, and then they, anyway, long story short, you know, he spoke to the Harvard Business School, he did all these things, even though he was the, I was the black sheep of the family until he came along. Anyway, I mean, he outdid me. But anyway, my brother Guy got so upset and angry that, glasses here, that her actions, this my stepmother's actions, caused him to be consumed with hatred for her morning, noon, and night. It started to take a toll on Weekend. That was the foundation that he started, the foundation he was running to help the homeless. The constant thoughts created by this hatred overwhelmed him. He couldn't sleep at night. He wasn't able to eat well. Began affecting his physical, mental, and emotional health. Finally, in a struggle, he went to a Catholic priest who worked with the homeless and received confession. That guy, he was not a Catholic. He told me that this guy was a great guy, this priest, and he had insight that changed Guy's life and saved Weekend. The priest told him, what I want you to do is to picture your stepmother, who you hate so much, during her early childhood. He continued, you know that hatred will totally destroy your life if you don't deal with it. And here's how I want you to handle it. I want you, over the next 7 days, to take each day and visualize this lady. Start first when she was a newborn baby. And then the next day, focus on when she was 6 months old. And then the next day, maybe when she was 3 years old. And then when she was 6 years old, and right out to when she was a teenager. Each day that you do that, I want you to pour liquid love over her like honey. It may take several hours each day to be able to do this, but don't give up. Guy told me that it was really hard, but he did it. He said that the first night, it took him 4 hours, and several times he cried out, saying, God, please help me. He visually poured liquid love over her, and then he did it again the next day. He saw some things, like how she was abused sexually in her childhood. He said that at the end of 7 days, not only did he not hate her, but he said that he felt this incredible compassion and love for her. He felt sorry for her. This process not only surprised him, totally broke the hatred and bitterness and anger that he had in his heart toward her. It literally transformed his life. Another amazing thing that happened as a result of this heart change, instead of going under, Weekend began to thrive, having an even greater impact on the city of New York. I want to pray for you now. Remember, it's be real, be led, be loving. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for each person here. I want to speak blessing over that. I pray for whatever they're dealing with. Father, if, and I'm sure that they've given their life to Jesus, you know, but for some reason, if you feel like you've strayed away from Jesus today, you know, I'm not going to stand or come forward, obviously, but if you feel like you've strayed away and you need to come back, maybe bitterness has entered your heart, you know, maybe there's just been a struggle going on and you're, you know, you've just kind of pulled away from God and from Jesus. You know, if that's you today, just with heads down, I want you to just kind of slip up a hand and kind of wave at me and just say, yeah, you know, I've been struggling with some areas and thank you, Lord. Any other hands? God bless you. Thank you for that hand as well. Thank you for that hand, Father, as well. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Tell you what, by the way, if you didn't raise your hand, and you're not going through anything right now, cheer up, you will be. So this will help you down the road. So I want everybody to pray this simple prayer. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I thank you, for dying for me. Not just so I can go to heaven, but so that I can have an impact on other people. Help me, number one, to be real. Help me, number two, to be led. And number three, the hardest of all, to be loving, even when I'm mistreated. Help me to forgive. Help me to walk free of bitterness. Help me to walk in your love and to demonstrate that love, even for those who have hurt me. Now, Lord, I give you my life. I give you everything that I ever hope to be. And I give you the glory today. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.